All right, brethren, let's turn to Romans 14. I'm going to just read one verse and then we'll look at it as we go. Romans 14, verse 13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Now, Christ is teaching us here that those that are strong in faith should limit our liberty, motivated by Christ's love for us and our love for our brethren. We have liberty, but we should limit that liberty, not exercise that liberty, toward a weak brother or in the presence of a weak brother. And we ought to do this constrained by Christ's love and by our love for the brethren. Now, I want to get right into this. I've titled it, "Acceptable to God, Approved of Men." Now, first of all, Christ has given His saints liberty. He's given us liberty from the old covenant law. Liberty means He set us free. In this country, we know what that means, liberty. It's liberty, freedom from the old covenant law. He says in verse 14, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself." Now, the Lord Jesus teaches His people this. He persuades His people of this, that no thing, nothing that we eat or drink or any days or anything, no thing is unclean of itself. Sin's not in things. Whenever in the garden, it was not the fruit itself that made Adam sin and plunged the whole human race into depravity. It was the fact God forbid him to eat that fruit. The sin was not in the fruit. Our Lord tells us that there's no sin in things that go in the mouth. Take alcohol, for an example. That's a big one that religious folks have a hard time with. Well, there's no sin in alcohol. There's no sin in alcohol going into the mouth. He said, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man. It's that which comes out of the mouth. It comes from the sinful heart. That's what defiles a man." Now, it's sin if a believer's breaking the law, if he's getting intoxicated, if it's interfering with his responsibility, that's sin. That is sin. But there's nothing unclean of itself. And nothing that goes into the mouth will defile the man. That's what Christ said. But not only that, now look at this verse again. Christ has redeemed His elect from the law so that there's nothing which was required in the old covenant law that is sin of itself or unclean of itself. There's nothing in that law to you and me now is unclean of itself. Circumcision, meat, drink, Sabbath days, feast days, and all the ceremony, all those things, brethren. Paul said, "I know and persuaded by the Lord Jesus." There's nothing, nothing in that law that's unclean of itself. He told the Galatians, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't go back to the law thinking there's anything you can do that's going to make you righteous or holy, or that's going to add to Christ, who is our righteousness and holiness. We are not justified by the law. The law was a schoolmaster until Christ came, until we've been given faith in Christ. The law was a schoolmaster, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Christ has set His people free from the entire yoke of old covenant bondage. He's freed us from that. Those things in the ceremony, we're going to see again in the second hour, those things all typified Christ. But Christ is the image. They were the shadow. Christ is the image. And Christ fulfilled everything that was written in the law and the prophets. He fulfilled everything. The whole law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is we couldn't keep it, and it condemned us. He redeemed us from that curse, being made a curse for his people. So we're not under that. What law are we under? We're under the law of faith, which worketh by love. It means we worship God in spirit. We don't look at the temporal things. We worship God in spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Now, Paul said in Romans 7, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Here's the law we're under, Romans 8, 2. The law of the Holy Spirit, the law of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from that old covenant law, which was sin and death. That's all that old covenant law ever gave anybody, was sin and death. But the law of the Spirit, the law of life in Christ, has freed me from that law of sin and death. But in the heart of a weak brother, you have a weak brother, he's weak in the faith. And here's why he's weak in the faith. If there's anything that he esteems to be sin, to him it is. If he esteems it to be unclean, not to observe this or that or the other thing, to him it is unclean. Look here in verse 14, second part. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Look at verse 20. Meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eats. That means he sins if he eats, and he disturbs his peace if he eats. Doesn't mean he's damned eternally. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. But he sins, and his peace is disturbed, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Christ is eternal, and so his work's eternal. That finished work he accomplished is eternal. Meat and drink and anything else we do is not going to change that. It's not going to change that. But if a man in his heart esteems anything to be unclean, then to him it's unclean. You see, we saw last time that God looks on the heart, on the motive. And this is talking about motive. If it's unclean in his heart, it's unclean. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If he can't do it, believe in God, and be happy and know that he's not condemned, then to him it's sin. Now, brethren, this is why we cannot force each other into liberty, and you can't force a man who knows his liberty to observe days and weeks and meats and all those things. We can't force one another to do anything. The only one who can give faith and grow us in faith is Christ. So we have to wait on the Lord. Our problem is when we get tired of waiting and we try to make it happen. You can't do it. You can't do it. This is not like you raising your children and you can correct your children and stop them from doing this or that. How would you like it if I tried to treat you that way? It wouldn't work, would it? But he gives you faith in the heart. Even if when in these churches where they force people to do something outwardly, it's not a faith, it's sin. So we can't force each other. We have to preach the gospel and wait on Christ to work in the heart. Now, so uncleanness is not in things. It's in how we esteem a thing. If a man esteems something sinful, then to him it's sinful. All right, secondly, because that's so, it is sin for those strong in faith to offend a weak brother by our liberty. It's sin. If there's a weak brother and I know he's going to be offended if I drink alcohol, and I'd go ahead and do it anyway, that's sin. That's sin on my part. Now let me show you why. Verse 15, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy, that is, sin not against, don't wound him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Paul gives us a good example in 1 Corinthians 8. Let's go back over there again. We read the first part of this last time, but I'll just read the second part. 1 Corinthians 8. And look at verse 8. 1 Corinthians 8:8. Meat commendeth us not to God. Meat does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. You see, that's what he means when he says there's nothing unclean of itself. It don't matter if you partake of it or you don't partake of it. It doesn't affect your standing with God. It doesn't affect our acceptance with God. But verse 9, but take heed, be careful, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, he said earlier, we have knowledge to know that an idol's nothing. It's not. It's a non-entity. It's nothing. People can call it a god, but that don't make it a god. An idol's nothing. There's one God, the true and living God. This we know. He says now, if any man see thee, which has this knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple. Here you are in an idol's temple, in a pagan, idolatrous temple. And you're sitting down eating steak that was used to being offered to an idol god. Now you know that don't matter. It does not change anything with God because that idol's nothing and that meat that was offered to it's nothing. It's just a steak and you're having it in an idol's temple. But if a man sees you doing that, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Have you ever been emboldened to do something that you otherwise might not have done because you saw an older brother do it? You know, I've done that, where you think of somebody you know in the faith that does this, and so you think, well, it's not bad. Well, watch this. He's weak, though. This one's weak. He's emboldened to do this by his brother. Verse 11, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish. That means his conscience will be wounded. Look, and it's a weak brother for whom Christ died. But when ye, watch this word, when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, that's what he means by perish. You sinned against the brother, wounded his weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, if he's offended by what I eat or drink, or I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You get that? Now let's go back and let me look at this. You think of these offenses now. If I walk contrary to the Word of God, here are the offenses. One, I'm not walking in love toward my brother as Christ commands me to do. I'm not walking in love. He says there in verse 15, if thy brother, Romans 14, 15, he says, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now you're not walking charitably. That's why Paul said in Galatians 5, 13, he said, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. First, I don't walk in love to my brother, so I'm disobeying the direct command of Christ my Redeemer. And then two, I'm sinning against my brother. And three, by sinning against my brother, I'm sinning against Christ. That's what Paul told us. When you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. See, Christ and his people are so one. We are so one that if you do anything to a brother in Christ, you're doing it to Christ. That's how one we are. We're doing it to Christ. And then look at this. Fourthly, my good will be evil spoken of. Look at verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Why, how, in what sense will my good be evil spoken of? Right here. For, because I claim to know this, that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It has nothing to do with meat and drink. Neither are we better if we eat or drink, neither are we the worse if we don't eat or drink. It has nothing to do. You don't worship God in carnal things. Worship God in the heart and spirit. That's true worship. Yes, we do some things outwardly in our flesh. We came here today outwardly. And we sit here in these pews outwardly. And we're going to sing outwardly and all that. But if it's not in here, and it's not been given to you by God to worship, it's just an exercise in body. It's a bodily exercise. And Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. So, but what does it mean? Well, if I know and I'm persuaded that it's not my works that makes me accepted of God, but it's only Christ my righteousness. If I know this, that Christ is my only righteousness, it's not my works, what I do or don't do, that makes me accepted with God. It's only Christ my righteousness. If I know this, then I'm going to want to follow Christ in doing what he tells me to do. I'm going to want to do this toward my brother or sister. I'm going to want to obey Christ's word in the way I walk and how what I do to my brother or sister or in front of my brother and sister. Christ's righteousness does not make his people want to sin by disobeying his word. His righteousness doesn't do that. It doesn't make us justify ourselves for doing contrary to his word. If we're doing that, that is of our sinful flesh and most likely of the devil. Christ makes us want to obey his word. If we know he's our righteousness, we want to do righteous toward our brethren. And then if I know Christ is my only peace with God, if I know, as Romans 5 says, that when I was an enemy to God, when I had no strength whatsoever, Christ came, and by his work at the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ reconciled his people to God. He brought us back into peace with God. And so now, if he did that for me when I was an enemy, having now been reconciled, having now been made a friend of God, he's going to save me by his life. This is my assurance. If I know this, if I know Christ alone is the peace of God and he's our peace with God, then that's going to make me want to walk in peace with my brethren. That's going to make me want to do whatever it is that will make for peace with a brother in Christ. I'll love peace with my brother rather than fighting and separation and holding a grudge and all that. If I know Christ is my peace, you're going to want peace. He makes his people peacemakers. The Prince of Peace makes his people peacemakers. If Christ is my joy, then I'm going to want my brethren to have the joy that's in Christ. And the way I'm going to do that is, I'm not going to try to draw their attention to me off of Christ, whether I'm exercising my liberty or if I'm observing days and eating and abstaining. I don't want them looking at me. I want them to be able to focus on Christ, because that's where this joy is going to be found. A believer will want to be quick to reconcile. He wants to be quick to come back into unity with his brethren, because he knows something. Sin is a divider. Sin divides, separates, creates discord. If you're divided and separated, it's because of sin. It's because of sin in you and in the other person. But Christ, the whole gospel, is Christ came and united his people. He laid down his life for his bride and united each elect child with him, with God in heaven and with our brethren on this earth. And so the believer knows it's so wicked to sow discord and divide, because it's undoing what Christ did. We lose our witness as a church. That's why Paul is saying, receive your brethren. Receive them. Even the weak brethren, receive them. Because our mission here is to preach the gospel and spread the gospel forth. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. We have something here that our minds and hearts should be set on accomplishing, that goes beyond whether I'm happy or not, or whether I'm offended or not. If we're divided, then that ruins our witness before sinners of how Christ unites his people, because it's walking directly contrary to it. So that's why Paul is saying here, receive your brethren. Receive them. Look at Romans 14:18. Now, he spoke of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That means this is spiritual, isn't it? It's spiritual. Now, watch this. For he that in these things, in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, he that in these things serveth Christ. You know what that means? It means he does what he does to his brother as unto Christ. He's treating that brother like he's Christ Jesus himself. Why? Because that's how one Christ is with his people. What you do to them, you're doing to him. So he that serves Christ, treating his brother in righteousness and peace and joy, he's serving Christ. He's doing it as unto Christ. And this man is acceptable to God and approved of men. By using my liberty to offend and to create division, that's not acceptable to God. And that's not approved by men. Neither one of them. It's causing my good to be evil spoken of. I've heard believers justify themselves for exercising their liberty and offending weak brethren. They do whatever it is that they do, have whatever they eat or drink, and they know it's going to be offensive to a weak brother, and they do it anyway, and they justify it by saying, well, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's spiritual. Well, that's true. It is. But that text, in the context, that's not given for you and I. If you're a strong brother, strong in faith, that's not given for you to justify offending your weak brother. It's given as a reason why we shouldn't. That's why it's given. Though I claim the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, I may make that profession. Here's why my good will be spoken evil of. I can make that claim. Well, the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But by insisting on exercising my liberty, I'm saying it is meat and drink. That's as real as one sinner who's extra legal, and he's saying, you got to do this. You got to observe this day. You got to eat this meat. You got to stay away from that meat. That man is saying the kingdom of God's meat and drink. And so is the brother that insists on exercising his liberty. He's saying the exact same thing. If I know the kingdom of God's not meat and drink, if I know Christ is my righteousness, Christ is my peace, Christ is my joy, then I'll not have a problem limiting my liberty for Christ and for a weak brother. When men came and they insisted, they were going to force Paul to circumcise Titus, Paul said, we withstood them. We did not submit to that, not for an hour. Why? Because those men's motive was wrong. They were saying it was necessary, that you can't be saved without this work. That's what they were saying. So Paul said, no, because that's wrong. But then Paul turned around, and there's Timothy, a half Gentile, and he's not circumcised. And Paul wants to take him with him into a Jew's temple to preach the gospel. And so Paul said, now before we go, Timothy, you're going to have to be circumcised. Why? Why did he do that? Paul knew the Jews, he knew circumcision was nothing, but he knew the Jews thought it was something. And he knew they would not be able to hear him preach the gospel of Christ at all as long as Timothy was sitting there uncircumcised. He knew that. And Timothy knew it too. Paul knew Timothy knew it because he wouldn't have suggested it if Timothy wasn't persuaded in his own heart that circumcision is nothing. You see what I'm saying? If a person really believes that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's not in our works that we do, if he truly believes that, then he will limit his liberty. He has the liberty to do this or not do that, but he won't do the thing if it's going to offend his brother. That's a man who really understands liberty. Now, thirdly, and this is our last point. So then, if I know this, truly know, and hear Christ speak these things, then let me limit my liberty around my weak brother. That's what I will do. Now watch this, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Look at verse 21. It's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? I've got faith to drink this glass of wine. Have it to thyself before God instead of before the weak brother. All right, you know these folks that want to make an exhibition out of prayer and want to hold their hands up and all that stuff, just tell them, go home in your closet where it's nobody but you and you're before God and pray like that all you want to. But don't come in the house of God and do it before men. Draw attention to yourself. They don't do that kind of mess at home in their closet by themselves. They're doing it so you can see them do it. Listen. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. That applies to you're happy if you can have a glass of wine and not be condemned by it. But you're also happy if you deny yourself in front of a weak brother because this is what's pleasing to God. Now, should making our sinful flesh happy, should pleasing our sinful flesh be the test by which we determine what we will or won't do? Should it? I like what Brother Walter Gruber said. That time somebody asked him when he's down in Mexico, "Are you happy, Walter?" He said, "That has nothing to do with anything." Whether I'm happy in my flesh or not has nothing to do with anything. Let's say we're meeting friends at a restaurant. I'm craving a glass of wine. I've been craving a glass of wine all day. But there's a weak brother there, and I know he's going to be offended if I order a glass of wine. Should pleasing my flesh be the deciding factor in what I do? Should my happiness be the deciding factor in what I do? No, God's Word should. The love of Christ for me should. And my love for my brother should be constraint to deny my flesh. Whether eating or abstaining, happiness is obeying God's Word. And whatever the thing is that you face, happiness is it obeying God's Word so that I'm not condemned in my spirit and in my conscience. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. He's not saying now, well, I have faith that I can do this X, Y, Z, which God's Word explicitly says, no, don't do that. He's not saying there that, well, if you got faith to do that and you're not condemned in your heart, have at it. It may be if you can do that, it may be what it is that you just don't have a heart. God ain't given you a new heart. So it's not that. He's talking about happy is he that's not condemned in that which he alloweth, which is something that's just indifferent. It's not something God's Word says you have to do or you don't have to do. It doesn't matter. Happiness is bearing my brother's infirmities for his good because God's Word tells me to. Look here in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor, our brother, our sister, for their good, for their edification. Instead of pleasing myself, let me please them. Happiness is following my Redeemer's example. Here's my motive right here. Look, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them, God's elect, that reproach thee, fell on me. When it came between saving his people by bearing our sin, did Christ do what would have saved him from that awful suffering and shame? When it came to bearing the sin of his people to save his people and glorify God, did Christ please himself and abstain from that which would have caused him all that suffering and all that shame? That's what it means. Everything he did was pleasing to the Father, and it pleased him to do what he did because he wanted to. But it's saying it would have saved him from suffering and shame. Did he choose to avoid that? For all his elect, Christ denied himself. He chose rather that our sins, by which we reproached his Father, fall on him rather than on us. That's how we're justified. That's how we have this liberty. That's how we have this liberty. Believer, that's our motive, to deny ourselves rather than offending a weak brother. Obeying and following Christ, that's happiness. It's in spirit rather than in the flesh. I need this. I need to be taught this. I need to be strengthened to do this. Don't you? Don't you? What do we do that doesn't please ourselves? How much do we really deny ourselves? for the good of our brethren. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to grow in. I pray God to bless it. Let's stand together. Our gracious God, we thank you for teaching us this. This is what you call strong meat. Lord, make us to be able to digest it and cause us to understand it and walk in it. Lord, don't let us point the finger. Don't let us look to see who else hears this. Let us hear this. Let me hear this. I need to hear it. I need to be grown in it. Lord, make each of us say that about ourselves. Show us Christ and show us more and more how he denied himself for us. That'll be our constraint to deny ourselves for our brethren. Lord, we're thankful that the gospel is the rule we're under. It's this gospel that causes us to turn from our sin and obey you. It's seeing Christ do what he did for his people, suffer and bear shame for us, that turns us from disobedience to makes us want to obey him. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the rule we're under. This is how your people are made to walk after you. Lord, don't let us go back to the law. Don't let us bite and devour one another, accusing and excusing one another ourselves. Make us to look to Christ and hear the gospel that we might truly obey you. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.